This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you, Matt and Brett, here today. Hey, Brett, haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Gopher women win today?
I'm not sure yet.
They were playing.
At least they're better than the men's team. That's not a high standard, though.
Is the men's team the worst team in the Big Ten? I think it is, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's not good. How about we say it like that? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Well, while we were asking about Gopher Women basketball tournament starts today. They played Penn State in the first round, and they were the underdog, I believe, in that game. Still weren't good. I still wasn't a great team, but we'll let you know. And they should be wrapped up by now. The Bill Maher tickets, I'm listening actually to currently. Listening to Bill Maher on the Smartless podcast, the Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes podcast. This is an episode from about a year ago, and I've been listening to it. Very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. And an interesting study of how he does his show and kind of, you know, the way he does things. I'm looking forward to it. Bill Maher is going to be coming into town May 21st at Mystic Lake Casino. We have tickets this hour. We have tickets next hour to give away. So listen for your chance to call in. We'll give those tickets away. Jeff Stein is here back after a week off with his usual weekly visit. And Cliff Schechter, because I want to give them both the chance to chime in on the revelations of what's going on at Fox News. Because, and this is what I'm going to ask Jeff point blank, is when suddenly, all of a sudden it was, oh, we're sharing the information from the other campaign with one campaign to the other campaign. That became a very different story. It's fun to watch how they're going to get pantsed badly by Dominion. They are going to get pantsed badly. I'm going to save this for Stein because, I mean, this is a lot to get into. But that's illegal. You can't, that is some serious, you know, campaign violations there if you're sharing all that information. So, we'll get to that here in a little bit. 952-946-6205. So, Cliff Schechter once again in the five. I want to start off with education because not only I want to touch on the community meeting they had over in St. Paul about what's going on at Harding High School and the St. Paul schools, which sounds like a freaking nightmare if you want to know the truth. It's not good. And there is an incredible reluctancy to deal with what is going on in the school. And I'll get to that here in a second. But I got to start off with something that I read this and I laughed and laughed and laughed. And it's an article of today from the Minnesota Reformer. Minnesota House lawmakers advanced two bills on Tuesday, adding ethics studies and personal finance courses to K-12 graduation requirements. Both need to pass several more hurdles before becoming law, however. The personal finance bill received unanimous support, but the ethnic studies bill divided DFL and House Republican lawmakers. Republicans say they want schools to celebrate diversity. You should tell that to the rest of the Republican Party across the country. But question why the state needs to mandate teaching ethics studies in schools, calling it a burden on schools. Okay, wait a second. We got to back up here. The same Republican Party whose entire education policy for the last 3 years has been to tell conservative parents, we're going to give you the authority to kick open the door of your kid's classroom and get in the face of that teacher and tell them what to do. You are in control. You will have complete control. That teacher won't do anything, and we'll make sure they're fired if they disagree with anything you say. That group of people all of a sudden don't want to put a burden on schools. You can't make it up. You guys, you're the ones. The burden on a teacher is when you have all of a sudden six mega parents saying, I don't like my first grader reading Green Eggs and Ham. You need to get that book out of here. And then the next parent coming in the door saying, why isn't Green Eggs and Ham on the reading list? We're going to get that out of there. And, you know, it's amazing to see this because this is, I talk about the national thing, and trust me, the Republican parties are all kind of tied together. When you look at what's going on in Florida and stuff like that, there what the game is this, is to write the rules so vaguely that the school has no other option but to basically pull all the books, say, off the shelves. You know, we're not going to teach about any kind of history. And what the game is, and this is what DeSantis and all the rest of these guys do, the game is to come on out then after that they have created this standard, this unachievable standard that, you know, there's no guidelines, there's no rules. It's just basically if someone is upset about a book, then they, you know, that because the way they feel race is portrayed, namely the race of anyone that's not a white male. Then basically that the teacher can be fired, the school can be fined, you can sue people, and this. So they've created this mess. But you see, is by creating this mess, what they've also created is, well, no one's going to get upset about the Roberto Clemente autobiography, or no one's going to get upset when the Diary of Anne Frank is pulled out. But the reality is that you can't say that. You've written it so vague so that a parent can kick open a classroom door and start scouring bookshelves. And say, unless it's all Dilbert cartoon books, then you know, basically it's you know, you're wrong. So I just want to Republicans in the state of Minnesota, if I may suggest, if I could just put this forward, stop talking about how you don't want to put a burden on schools. You have done so many freaking unfunded mandates on schools, on teachers, on school districts, on administrators. Your entire platform for the last few years is about how you are going to put those teachers in their place by demanding that the teachers bow to everything that every parent says. That is a far harsher burden than requiring an ethics diversity class. It is beyond comical. Beyond comical. It's just the fact that they tried to put that one forward. The Republicans say they don't want the schools without calling a burden. BFL lawmakers say the bill mandate also comes with funding and resources for teachers to help with that burden. The Minnesota Department of Education is in the process of adding ethics studies to Minnesota's social studies standards, which has stirred up controversy in recent years, though students do not need to meet those standards to graduate. State standards include financial literacy in economics and social studies requirements, but the standards do not require standalone courses. Chief author of the bill is Representative Samantha Spencer-Murrah of the DFL from Minneapolis, and she said the graduation requirement adds an extra layer of accountability. Spencer-Murrah said she has spoken with MDE officials, and the agency is against adding the graduation requirement. So the Minnesota Department of Education. So I don't know. I mean, if the Department of Education, which is under the governor's purview, is against adding the graduation requirement, I don't know if this is going to get passed. If I can make one thing about the financial class, no one's really going to, I think, going to get into a problem with that. I think it's a good idea. Fiscal responsibility is a good thing. But I just want to make sure you Democrats are ready, because once again, the entire 2024 campaign for Republicans is extremist Democrats. That's what they're going to be. And you know how they're going to portray this. They're going to come on out and say, they're going to force us to teach that black people and Latino people and Native Americans are better than white guys. They're going to make white guys be the worst in the world. That's the extremism of the DFL. That's what they're going to say. And I'm not saying you don't put this through. We can have a discussion about that. But what I will say is you better have a game plan in place for when the ads start against you on this one. Because like I said, that's all the Republicans are never going to put out policy. Their entire... Did you see the... we just want to give tax breaks. Like it's some kind of, you know, Keynesian child on the street looking in on a bakery in 1850s London. I just want a tax break. And seriously, that was their entire economic, nothing on education, nothing on roads, just we got to give taxes to everyone. And remember last year when we said rebate checks are horrible? Well, now we love rebate checks. We never said rebate checks are horrible. We said only when we're giving rebate checks are they a good thing. Sucks to be on the outside, doesn't it, you guys? Oh, God, just delightful. So 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take some time here to go through, and obviously this is they've got a problem in St. Paul. Now, I want to reiterate where I see the problem in a lot of schools, and I think this is the problem in the St. Paul schools, and the fairly easy solution to this. Once again, no one is denying that the system that we had in place was antiquated, racist, discriminated against the minorities of this country. It was a very white European-centric based education system. Undeniable. We had to fix it. And that is something I commend the people who are far smarter than me than in education for them to grab on and try to address that issue. Absolutely. That being said, the solution is not zero accountability in regards to trying to address the valid criticism that most of the discipline that was happening in schools was overwhelmingly towards minority students. But the solution is not to go to, we're not going to have any accountability whatsoever. There's not going to be any consequences for anyone's actions, that this is something that we're going to basically just do. If someone threatens someone, we basically sit down, try to do a kumbaya drum circle, and that's it. That's a mistake too, because by leading with no accountability, it sounds like, and this is because you guys have had this for a few years, there is literally no control of this school. It's the bad element of kids are in control of the school. And they know the rules. They know how much they can get away with. They know that there's not going to be any consequences. Henceforth, they are pushing to the borders everywhere they can, because that's what freaking kids do. I've got kids too. They will always test the borders. It's how you respond to that guides those kids. And if you are having something happen where a child in a school where there are vulnerable kids is doing something that if they did it in the real world, they would be arrested, fired, thrown out in the street, whatever the case may be, then you can't just give them constant freaking mulligans. Case in point, as we discussed earlier with the St. Paul schools, the amount of armed students that were going into the school. When you discover a student with a loaded weapon in the school, they're done at the school. Because would you tolerate someone, if it's posted no guns in the school, someone coming in who works there saying, here's my gun, I've got it, let me wave it around? No, you wouldn't. You would fire that person. And if they threatened anyone with that gun, that person would be arrested, because that's the real freaking world. And I am stunned that people don't think that if they don't treat this kind of behavior with the harshest penalties available, that you're going to somehow not have guns in schools. What you basically said is, well, there's no consequences for bringing a gun into school. Outside of, I'm on vacation for 2 weeks with a suspension. Or I'm in alternative class where I'm not going to show up anyway. I'm just going to roam the halls of the school, which sounds like it's something that goes on with a plum in the school district. So you have to create some standards that, and I think that's it. If it's something that someone would get arrested for in the real world, well, then you better start treating it with a little bit more than a, hey, let's have a pancake breakfast and hash out our disagreements. No one bring a gun though, okay? You know, no, that's not how it works. Now, that is what the solution I put forward. I'll take a break. Come on back. When I do return, I want to talk about what happened and some of the comments that were made last night. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Do you really want to taste that? And So ends the Gopher women's basketball season. They lost to Penn State. We used to have good college basketball in this state. We used to.
And it's too bad because we have so many good basketball players at the high school level. It really is a boom period for Minnesota basketball.
And we're getting our clocks clicked. What's the term?
They're getting blown out.
Yeah. We're not getting those players. Pockets picked. I will say this. I don't know what it is with these licensing agreements that these other schools are. But you're in the University of frickin' Minnesota. You got Target, you got Best Buy, you've got 3M, you've got these other companies in this town. You know, if you embraced that, because that's now becoming a deciding factor on where people are going to school is these licensing agreements. You might want to, that might be the case. Now, that being said, I still think college should be about educating kids. I don't necessarily think the primary focus should be sports, but this is the world that we're living in. And so, yeah, it's not great to see us spend as much money as we are on the state, the University of Minnesota, spending as much money on that basketball program. And this is the wow. Yeah. Wow. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. How about we give away some tickets right now?
Let's do it.
Bill Maher is coming to Mystic Lake Casino on May 21st. May 21st, Bill Maher at Mystic Lake Casino. I got a pair of tickets right now. Caller number nine. Let's do caller number nine. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Caller number nine. You get to go see Bill Maher as he comes into town. Good luck on that. Reminder, I got Stein coming up here at the bottom of the hour, and then Cliff Schechter the top of next hour as well. At a nearly three-hour listening session Tuesday evening, the St. Paul School Board heard 63 speakers share their fears and frustration over school safety, along with the countless ideas to making things better. The special meeting was held at Washington Technical Magnet, where a staff member was shot in the ear after school in January, the same week that a Central High School student was shot in the head at a nearby rec center, and a teen was arrested with a gun at Harding High. But it wasn't until 15-year-old Devin Scott was fatally stabbed at Harding on February 10th the school district began to soliciting input on how to improve school safety. Joyce Jones Strait, a teacher at Washington, said her school has the same issues that teachers, parents, and students complain of at Harding. Students bring weapons to school, use cell phones to arrange fights, and there's not enough support for students who aren't ready to learn. Harding teacher James Lowe said he'd spoken with seniors there who haven't given much thought to what they'll do after graduation because they're focused on just staying alive. Well, that's wow. He called for more school social workers and counselors. The district has dramatically increased its ranks of mental health staff thanks to federal pandemic grants, but several teachers said they still aren't meeting the need. Como Park Senior High teacher Alana Sweeney said her school typically has 30 to 40 students unsupervised in the hallways during class time. How is that even possible? Seriously, how do you have roaming gangs of kids in your schools in between classes? That just shows you the complete and total lack of any appreciation of authority within the school district. And I don't want to hear, this is one of those things I'm going to disagree with these, Matt, you need to hear what they're saying on the inside. No, they need to be in class. Just for safety concerns, you can't have 30. Imagine you worked at the Target headquarters in downtown Minneapolis. Imagine there were 30 to 40 roving people just any time going down the hallways, trying to start fights, running around, goofing off. You think anyone in the Target building is going to be getting a good day's work done? No, of course not. You'll be wondering, where the heck is this group of kids? No, the fact that that's going on with such consistency that every school is reporting it just tells you the superintendent has failed at this point. They're combative, disruptive, she said. They know there will be no consequences for their behavior, which is clear. The lack of accountability is an equity issue, she said. 99% of the students who come to the school to learn engage are being robbed of a free and safe education. The teachers made it clear it's not just high schools where the struggle is getting under control in classroom and hallways. Emma Stalker, a first-year teacher at Hidden River Middle School, said her experience this year with weapons, threats, and attacks on teachers and students has her rethinking how long she intends to teach. This is at a middle school. First-year teacher Haruka Yokioka said, assaults on staff are common in pre-K-4 Global Arts Plus Lower Campus. Pre-K-4? You're teaching them not to respect any kind of authority early on, aren't you? When I hear from my secondary colleagues in the district about the safety issues they see in their schools, the difference they see is my students are littler and have less access to weapons, she said. Wow. Among the speakers, well, even though I had that shooting, was it in Virginia? Not that long ago. By the way, do we have a winner?
We do have a winner. Barbara from Columbia Heights, so congratulations to her.
Barbara, Columbia Heights, congratulations. We have another pair of tickets to give away coming up next hour. So listen for that right here on AM 950. When I hear from a second colleague, she's talking about this, these young kids, the only thing that's different is they don't have access to weapons. Among the speakers Tuesday were four current students who said violence is getting in the way of their learning. The Como Park freshman said drug use, vaping, fights, and weapons are commonplace. Wow. Gotta get my throat lozenge moved around correctly. Sorry about that. It got stuck to my tooth, and I'm like, this is okay. I just mad. Sorry, my throat lozenge. You know, my allergies kicked in. It's delightful. This is the best part about Minnesota. Snow on the ground and I get allergies. Thank you. Thank you. When you see a kid with, this, going back to what the students were saying, when you see a kid with a gun or a knife, it's not even surprising at this point. I don't want to normalize it. Wow. The students, like other speakers Tuesday, had mixed views on bringing police officers back into the schools after the school board removed school resource officers in 2020. Instead, some speakers called for stronger commitment to restorative practices, which have been unevenly implemented since the school district began a pilot project that the teachers union urging in 2016 in response to students' attack on school staff. Battle Creek Middle School teacher. Well, I mean, if you're attacking the staff, if you're committing assault, let's call it what it is. If you're committing assault, you should have a little bit more than a, well, we're going to have a quiet time for a few weeks and then we'll have you back in school. That's not how it works in the real world. And don't get me wrong. I don't think one mistake should be the end of things. But I don't think this is this doesn't seem like it's the kid who's, I'm an A student. I'm going to push a teacher now. That's not what's going on. It sounds like the kids that are causing the problems are pretty consistent repeat offenders. And basically, the rest of the school is just sitting there and taking in. For Highland Park Senior High special education teacher Nate Giles, police officers are part of the solution. I've seen the relationships that police officers have made with students. Giles also called for the district to change its lax approach to student discipline. Couldn't agree more with that. It clearly seems that's a problem. There's a lot of pressure to not send students home, which creates a toxic environment. Other speakers called for metal detectors, recruiting parents and emergency school volunteers, having high schoolers mentor younger students. All right. If the person commits something, a crime and a thing that would result in harsher penalties in the real world, are you really doing them a service to basically allow them to not have any consequences from that? Because what it seems like what you're going to do is like, I brought a gun all the time to high school. What do you mean I'm going to be arrested for bringing it to my job? Aren't you just going to take me out to a pancake breakfast? Aren't we going to have a kumbaya drum circle? What do you mean I'm going to be arrested for violently threatening my coworkers? If you do not have consequences for any actions, these kids will take advantage of you. Not all of them, but some of them. And they are very good at finding the borders and the edges. And the problem is that your borders and edges seem to be a dead kid. That now, all of a sudden, we got someone who got stabbed. We're going to take it seriously. It should have never gotten this far. Because let's just call this what it is. Whatever you're doing right now sucks. Sucks huge. It's really bad, and it's not getting any better. So, good luck, St. Paul schools, because unless you guys start doing a little bit more common sense thought process here, I just don't see how this is going to get cleaned up. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Jeff Stein going to join us. Oh, have I got some things to talk to him about. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Jeff Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert and noted author. Find his books over at Next Chapter Books, also totallyiowa.com, the Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report. Come to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And Jeff, good to have you back this week, my friend. Missed you.
Well, it's good to be back. And you're looking fit as all get out. Your posture is so good these days.
You know, it's great. If you put a few metal rods into your spinal cord, guess what? It keeps you right. I'm a posture pal. It is funny. It is like I'm going to be it's going to take me a while to get through airport security now because I got more machine than man inside me now at this point.
I recall, and this is years ago, someone I knew had a knee replacement and they had to carry with them a wallet card size photo of an x-ray to show, no, I'm not going to set the plane off. I've actually got metal in my leg. And I don't know, you're going to have to bring the Mayo Clinic team to the airport see TSA to get you through.
Well, it's always nice when I go to a TSA checkup because they put me in the body size Wand-O-Matic, and not only do they can see that, so they can tell where all the metal in my body is, but they also give me a nice update on if I have any prostate problems. So it's always nice. It's kind of thorough. It's a thorough exam I get there.
I see. The Wand-O-Matic. Trademarked by the TSA?
I'm going to let them take the trademark because you don't mess with the TSA, man. I'm just going to let you know you do not mess with the TSA.
Well, you are a generous sort, so that's good.
You and I, okay, we're going to get to Fox News here in a second, but I got to just, you and I, about 6 months ago, I asked you the question, could someone from Florida actually win the presidency? And because it's not exactly our most desired state, it's got its, meth gators and other issues. And DeSantis, I want to put aside, I'm going to put aside his culture war crap, his assault on Disney, his clearer tones that if corporate America does not agree with me, I'm going to punish you. That sort of thing. I'll put that aside. When he comes on out there and he says, I want to make America Florida, just that one line. I'm like, okay, do you understand what a hurdle that is? Because it's like, oh God, no. Oh, sweet Jesus, no. He's got to try to figure out, and don't get me wrong, I guarantee you in some corners of the conservative worlds that resonates. But that's not going to resonate. Make America Florida is not going to resonate in the suburbs and in many states. This is a problem for him if he's going to try to win this White House.
Okay, but what else does he have?
He's got those kick-ass boots.
Well, I was a SEAL and a member of Congress, and okay, that's all very nice. But truly, he's, well, what? In a serious sense, that's what he has to run on. I became the chief executive of a state. I believe I have done things very well. I was reelected. And so therefore, my best claim to fame is as the chief executive of Florida. So if I say, let's make America Florida, that plays to my strength if you think it's a good thing to make America Florida. See, that's the fundamental premise, right?
Yes.
He has nothing else to run on. And if you buy into it, great. The downside is that he has bought into the PR that making Florida what it is now was a good thing.
Yes.
And yes, there are some who think so. But I mean, that's what it comes down to. He's heard from all sort of sycophants that he is doing tremendous stuff, that he's the heir apparent to Trump, that he is Trump's policies without Trump, and he's apparently decided to believe it and go forward. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, he's now got the book out, and I'm sure you'll have him on the program to promote his new book.
Oh, yeah.
I heard him on a nationally syndicated program, a very favorably disposed interviewer, and I was not impressed. I have to tell you, in the, here's 10 minutes where you're not ripping into Joe Biden, you're not ripping into woke culture, not ripping into Democrats generally. Tell us about the book. Tell us about you, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, wow, it's not a great presentation. And that's sort of what you need out the gate to sell books and sell yourself for president. I have also been told that he has a number of great political skills, but retail politics, Matt, is not one of them. In other words, small talk, meeting with people, going to a pizza ranch in Iowa, not exactly his strong suit. He doesn't like it. He's not good at it. So the problem is he has such a high bar to meet because of his fawning, sycophantic publicity. I don't know how he could actually meet it. So he's got the two problems here. The actual ones you mentioned about, well, you're kind of putting all your eggs in the Florida basket.
Yeah.
But the, you know, everybody's saying, if only DeSantis would run. Well, I remember people saying, if only Colin Powell would run. And how'd that turn out? Same thing.
Well, and I mean, if you're looking for a moderate candidate, Nikki Haley's sitting out there, but no one wants Nikki Haley. They're looking for someone who's going to be the next Trump, and that's they feel it's going to be DeSantis. Can I ask you this? You're in conservative Iowa. Forget about who he'll be running against. Just you're in Iowa. I've lived in Iowa for many years. Yeah. Make America Florida is not a line that's going to sell in Iowa. It just is not, because Iowans, like many people, don't want to be Floridians. They want to be Iowans. And so this idea, and especially when every story that comes out of the state is just nuts, I don't think people, that's not going to sell. Do you feel it would sell if he came up there to Iowa and said, I'm going to make Iowa Florida?
No, because the people in Iowa overwhelmingly reelected people or elected people to make Iowa, Iowa.
Yes.
Whatever that manifestation is right now.
Yes.
And so, if he comes up and says, oh, look what we've done in Florida, you're going to have a whole bunch of folks here in Iowa say, well, yeah, but we did this. Okay, so what? You're just another one of those free states. Okay, great. That's the phrase that's being used a lot now, the free state of this or that. It may sell in a state where it's much more of a jump ball. It may sell very well for him to go to big blue cities and rail against blue cities and their governments. Yeah, I don't think that New Hampshire or Iowa, either one, is necessarily as receptive to the message as Fox News might hope that it is.
Come be the magic and splendor of Tampa. Oh, God, no.
If you've been to Tampa.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Still have the glitter on me. Okay, so the one thing, which is just really quick, we'll wrap up DeSantis here. Trump clearly is taking him seriously, and Trump's now going after him. Trump is still the favored candidate. The latest polling that came on out said that any advantage DeSantis was having is now gone, that Trump is now firmly in the lead. And as you said, his presentation, DeSantis's presentation, is tough. Remember back in 2016 how Trump methodically took out every other Republican challenger. He's starting it again. DeSantis, I don't think, is going to last too long, frankly.
I'm surprised he's doing what he's doing this early. I think he would have been better advised to actually do the job he was just reelected to do. This is March 1st. He's not even 2 months into a second term. There's plenty of time, and there'd be plenty of time for the, in no order, Haley's, Scott's, Pence's, Pompeo's of the world, all these folks who are either going to do whispering campaigns or throw their hat in the ring. Fine, let them all just kind of gather and be the foil for Trump, and then get in at a later point. But he's not doing that. And I just don't think that's going to serve him well, because to your point, have you heard Trump tear into Haley or Pompeo or Pence lately?
No,
not a bit of it, because he doesn't need to. He thinks he needs to with DeSantis, which suggests he does take him seriously. And it's true. I don't care what poll you look at. It's like a, quote, two-man race. The disloyalty thing with Trump, and you and I have talked about this on other occasions in other contexts, Trump favors loyalty above all else. He can't be pleased that people who used to work for him or that he appointed or that he helped are thinking of running against him, but he's letting it all go with the other one so far, and it's all de sanctimonious all the time.
And I will say this one thing. Scott Jensen, who ran and lost the governor's race to Walz last year in Minnesota, He was on the campaign trail in Minnesota way early. I mean, starting pretty much right after, 2021 rolled in. I mean, he was out there starting to lay the foundation. So I get to a point, I get why you want to start early. You can build a foundation. But as you just said, what you've done is put yourself in the eyes of Trump and in the sights of Trump, and he's targeting you up at this point.
Well, one thing, too, there is a conservative PAC, and I don't know that I can find their name for you right now, but they're running ads all across the state of Iowa. It's a pro-DeSantis PAC, and they are ripping into Nikki Haley and basically saying, okay. Nikki Haley, well, she looks good, but her policies are terrible, and she quit on Donald Trump, but we need Ron DeSantis. And I'm thinking, a DeSantis PAC, and that's how they identify themselves. They're tearing into Nikki Haley because she looks good on TV, but I'm thinking, why? Why are you doing such, I don't even get it.
Well, might as well put an ad attacking me. You know, it really, it's just kind of, I hate saying it because it's kind of brutal, but it's kind of irrelevant, isn't it? I mean, it just is, it's going to be Trump or it's, you know, unless Trump, something happens, it probably will be DeSantis. So,
but how about just be pro DeSantis? Why? Okay, Nikki Haley's the only one to officially announce, oh, we're going to show her a thing or two. I mean, it sounds, if you didn't know better, you'd think it was a Trump PAC.
Yeah.
That's the level of kind of immature attack that it's taking.
All right. Let's go to Fox News. All right. Okay. So the thing which I find to be amazing. And I started looking at the news, it was yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of salacious comments here about what they did know and did not know. And, you know, the Dobbs and Bartiromo were basically really pushing the stop the steal stuff. And they were believing in it, but pretty much everyone else was off the record was saying it wasn't real, that this was fake. We're going down the wrong path, but on air, we're doing it. They're in big trouble in the Dominion lawsuit, but there came a moment where this story dramatically changed, and it was when Rupert Murdoch acknowledged that he had given inside information on Biden's ads and debate strategy to Jared Kushner prior to events. And I said, whoa, okay, now this is something new. This is something different. Because as you and I talk about, the Dominion lawsuit, that's a Dominion lawsuit. But now all of a sudden you're a news organization. And you'll be the first, you've taught news. You don't do this sort of thing. You're not supposed to do this sort of thing. And the fact that they were so openly putting their hand on one side of the scale and now are out and getting caught on it, this is actual real trouble now, I think, for Fox News. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, do you remember how the folks on the right and Fox News just excoriated Donna Brazile when she was working with CNN for tipping candidates about debate questions? I mean, they just could not have more haughty disdain for such things. How is this different?
Well, it's worse. The sharing of the ads. I mean, the debate stuff, the debate strategy stuff there is. So the Biden campaign goes to Fox News. Here's our ads. And Murdoch apparently calls Jared Kushner saying, before an ad is aired, here's the ads. Here's the narratives they're going with. We want to make sure you know first. Holy God.
Well, see, that's the thing. And that was the whole point. They thought what Brazile did or did not do, whatever, was just this worst offense against humanity. You're disclosing commercial information. It's the ownership of the company contacting the president's son-in-law. I mean, the Murdoch family Thanksgivings they got to be a sight to see anyway with the splits in that family. But I have no time for these talking heads who espouse one thing on the air and then say something the opposite. You're not doing pro wrestling. You're talking about the future of a democratic republic. And so for them to just act like it's just a big game, and then for Murdoch to have admitted doing these things, how do you trust any of these people? This is why journalism has taken such a beating lately. And we're not, talking heads, that's not journalism, but it's all lumped into the same thing of, quote, media. Mm-hmm. And why do people not have the time of day for it anymore? No surprise.
Does Biden have a lawsuit here? I mean, if you're a campaign and you're sharing details there, you're not basically having the news station. I mean, I just think about any of the radio stations you and I have worked on or anything like this. We'd never do anything like this because, I mean, the immediate fear would be, well, then the candidate could sue us. You know, sort of thing.
Well, the only thing, I mean, I could see Murdoch. Well, I can't see it, but I could see it. Murdoch calling the Trump side saying, you know, Biden just made a $9 million ad buy with us. You know, hello, you guys might want to get here. But the details of it, you wouldn't do that. And no. I suppose somebody could. So, no, I don't think there's a lawsuit simply because the stuff winds up airing very quickly anyway. And, you know, so what advantage was gained at it? They didn't deny them the ad time. They sold it to them at the normal rate, et cetera, et cetera. But it is just a cratering of any tissue of credibility. And from a business standpoint, you don't do that. I mean, did you ever call the Chevy dealer and say, psst, the Ford dealer just placed a bunch of ads here on the radio station? I don't think you'd do that.
No, I don't think you would. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. When I come on back, I'm going to ask you the point about value, because clearly Fox News was giving tremendous value to the Trump campaign, which you're not supposed to have on one side or the other. You're supposed to be neutral. You're supposed to offer equal things. These are the rules of radio media broadcasting. And so let's talk about that when we come back. Jeff Stein with his usual weekly visit, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. So, Jeff, on that question, value added to a campaign, because once again, the rules are this, is that, you know, we as a radio station, when political season is up, we have to offer the same ad rates for one side or the other. You have to add equal value. If I have an hour-long show with a candidate, I have to offer equal time to the other candidate. Funny, a lot of Republicans don't want to come on my show for some reason. That being said, but you have to offer the equal time, and that's kind of the rules on this. Here's where it gets really kind of interesting. Clearly, Fox News gave value to the Trump campaign by giving them the information about the Biden ads. They also gave them value by giving them, you know, debates, the narratives and stuff like that they were going to go with. It really does sound that they got some value. Is that where they get into trouble? Because once again, that there are very strict rules that you cannot offer one thing to one side and not the other.
There's a merging of a couple of things here. When we're talking about over-the-air radio and television, that's when you have to follow all of the equal time rules, et cetera, because they're government-regulated licenses. When you start talking about cable satellite channels, well, those don't travel with a government license. Okay, so AM 950 has a government license. You got to follow a bunch of rules. But where they do get tripped up, to your point about value, is any Federal Elections Commission, any FEC rule, if you give in-kind value and it's not documented and reported as a donation, that's where you have a whole heap of trouble. Mm-hmm. And so if the Matt McNeil creative agency came up with a bunch of ads and donated its time to the campaign, whatever campaign, but you didn't disclose that it was a donation, that's a contribution. That's an in-kind political contribution. And so that's where you could really have some issues, not so much with the broadcasting rules, which are serious for licensed entities, but did Rupert make a campaign donation of in-kind information or services? And if so, what's the value of that? And had he already made contributions, never mind that they weren't disclosed, but now has he gone over the limit? I mean, that's where you can get tripped up. It's sort of like they got Capone for tax evasion too.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the sexy thing, but it's the thing that'll trip you up.
And thanks, and right on the call there, I forget that those don't apply to the cable networks there. It sounds like Murdoch, I think, to protect Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and the rest. Mm. It sounds like Barbaromo is the one that they're kind of, he himself kind of pointed towards her, who has been one of the biggest, you know, megaphones for the, you know, the 2020 was stolen narrative. Is there a way, I mean, obviously Fox News is going to be in trouble. They're big trouble because of this Dominion lawsuit. But is there a way that they can filter this down to just one of the people there, or is the network still going to be in, as even if there is one person who clearly seems that is the point person of trouble, is the whole network still in trouble?
Well, look, they got rid of Lou Dobbs right after Biden became president within 2 months and got him out the door, even though he had a contract. They like Bartiromo, and she's focused more on the business things of late as opposed to election conspiracies. I don't think you can winnow it down to one person, because you've got all of these memos and texts and things flying back and forth where multiple people, high-profile people whose names you would know, are saying, I don't believe this stuff, or saying, what's the matter? I love this one. They one of their White House reporters, think White House, is Jackie Heinrich.
Yeah.
Don't know anything about her, but I've seen her on the TV box. And so she was reporting accurately about some of these things, and you've got the Fox hosts calling for her to be fired, calling internally for her to be fired, because doesn't she know what our audience wants to hear?
That was pretty damning. And as well, there's the argument they're putting forward. Well, that wasn't our news shows. Those were our opinion shows. But there comes a part, if you're Fox News, that's what your shows. Those are your highest rated shows, and you weren't putting anything on the air to contradict this.
It's the company. It's the brand.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, there is a difference. There's supposed to be a firewall between the news and the opinion. But the audience sees it as being blurred. You get people like Hannity who says, I'm not a journalist, but we do journalism on my show. What? I'm not a beer master, but I'll serve you a 16-ounce pint. I don't understand this. And so when they blur the lines like that, then you are you going to have to be hospitalized? You're laughing. You're turning red. Do you need to adjust?
It's Sean Hannity. It's like, I don't make meatballs, but I'm a huge meatball on my show. That's kind of where we're at. We got to end it there. They're nicely done, Jeff. I'll put out the Iowa politics report a little bit later on. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week. Hour number two. That's coming up next. Hour number two of the show on your Wednesday, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Reminder, a little bit later on this hour, we've got some tickets to give away to go see Bill Maher over at Mystic Lake, May 21st. Make sure you listen for the chance to call in for that. But because the Fox News story was kind of so obnoxious, I actually wanted not only Jeff Stein, our regular Wednesday feature on politics, to chime in on it. I also wanted Cliff Schechter, a best-selling author, writer, was an ad writer for Joe Biden's presidential campaign in 2020. In 2022, his Blue Amp Action email list raised over $850,000 for Democratic candidates and progressive organizations. He hosts the Blue Amp YouTube channel, where it's fantastic. Humorous cutting takedowns that have gone viral. You can find some of those retweeted on my social media pages, and you can subscribe at YouTube. I'll put the link out for that a little bit later on. Cliff Schechter is kind enough to join us today to weigh in on this as well. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, buddy, I can only think of two things after hearing you the last minute. One is, what was that, like, drunken banana French toast? Because that sounds really
good.
Yeah,
it actually does, yes.
I need to come up there and go to that place.
You get up here, I'll take you around, man.
Deal. Second thing is, I heard you say, like, you know, Fox News is so obnoxious, we couldn't just have our regular guy on. I'm thinking, we need to have somebody just as obnoxious as they are. So we have Cliff Schechter for you.
Well, not as
so
obnoxious. No, well, did I say it loud? Brett, I thought I was asking for professional, insightful commentary. That's what I'm looking for.
I am not offended at all. Sorry, I didn't mean to speak up your breath. Go ahead.
No problem. Well, no, let's go through this dumpster fire.
If you want professional commentary, you called the wrong guy. You need somebody else. I'm going to give you drunken banana obnoxiousness.
It's always been a dumpster fire here. Let's bring Cliff on in. All right. So, actually, no. Okay. So this is because there was a moment, and I brought this up with Jeff Stein, who's our usual Wednesday guy who comes in. You were in here last Wednesday. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you coming on today. So I'm watching all this stuff, and I'm just relishing in the deliciousness of all these text messages that Dominion is releasing that basically show Fox News knew exactly what they were doing, and Fox News is going to lose billions of dollars to Dominion. Dominion's going to own a good chunk of Fox News at the end of all this. But that being said, then all of a sudden came the story, Rupert Murdoch sharing Biden's ads pre-air with Jared Kushner and the Trump campaign, as well as debate strategy. And, you know, in the media business, I'm a terrestrial radio station here. You can't do that. The FCC rules, you can't do stuff like that. but you are definitely offering a massive contribution to the Kushner and to the Trump campaign that you're not offering the other people. That's where I said, okay, this has changed. This story is now changing to where it's not just you guys were putting forward falsehoods, that you were very openly, as you tried to scream fair and balanced, very much trying to make sure one side got elected here. And that, I think, could end up being some legal problems there as well. Your thoughts on when that story...
Well, God, I hope so. Ugh. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. God, I hope there are legal problems because of that. But I can only speak from my experience, and it's enough that, you know, being involved with these various organizations. I was never a paid analyst at Fox, but for a number of years I went on to debate and saw things behind the scenes I shared with people. I mean, the hosts weren't even trying to pretend. You know, and I wrote an op-ed for the New York Times on the year that I spent as a paid analyst at the Sinclair Broadcast Network, which, you know, is basically the same thing as Fox. It's just a local station. On all the things, all the ways that they set things up behind the scenes, all the lies they told, all the times they were honest about that they were on the team, and the reporter they wouldn't let report the bad news he saw in Iraq, only the quote-unquote good news, because Bush was in office. Excuse me. And I mean... I guess the biggest fallacy, the biggest problem here is that we even need this kind of proof. I mean, the right will take anything. The right, they grab people who are either nonpartisan, like, you know, ambassador to Ukraine, or people who are like Republicans, like Jeff Flake, or anybody that even slightly disagrees with them. Hell, Liz Cheney. And they turn them into, oh, they're liberals and they're biased and they're Democrats, and scream it again and again and again. Meanwhile, they do the most obvious things in the world on the most obvious playbook. Roger Ailes said it when he first set up, I think it was called Right Wing News or something stupid like that, but his predecessor to Fox News, that they needed a way because of what had happened during Watergate with Nixon, i.e. the news actually told the truth. They needed a way to be able to hijack the truth so they could stop something like that from happening in the future. And it was always his mission, and he was a TV producer, but he built a TV station that was based on a political campaign. And you can hear it in the way that Hannity and Tucker Carlson and all of them text each other, like, you know, our base will be happy, our base. That's how a candidate refers to, like, the people they're running to win who are going to turn out for them, who like them, right? They don't view this as news. They view it as a campaign. Mm-hmm. It is a campaign to build ratings and help Republicans win. And that is all that it's about. And so I hope there's legal, but I mean, my God, I mean, the cheating that these people have engaged in.
Yeah.
If we ever know the full truth, we still don't know, you know, with Jimmy Carter entering hospice, we still don't know what's true and what's not about William Casey, Reagan's campaign manager. You may remember had the CIA foreign policy connections, whether there was a deal for them to hold the hostages until Carter was out of office.
France said it happened. Israel said it happened. Russia said it happened. The Iranian president said it happened. There are more than a few people that said that those meetings happened.
And
the PLO,
all you need again
remember the PLO, PLO told Carter 10 years afterwards that Reagan's campaign had contacted him beforehand saying, we'll give you arms for the PLO if you can get us in touch with the Iranians. And
that's
so,
what I was going to tell you. Yeah. Right, like if you see what happens 6, 7, 8 years later with Iran-Contra, gee, I wonder where they put the connections together for that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it all feeds, it's like you see, it makes you sound conspiratorial, but it all feeds into each other. You may remember now, of course, a good member, no longer a member of the right because he realized he took things too far. But back in those days, George Will, who was helping Ronald Reagan prepare for his debates, you brought up like debate points and stealing those. Well, guess what? Like, he came across Jimmy Carter's debate book and he shared it with Reagan and they used it to practice and didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is what we've been up against. We're up against people who will lie, cheat, steal. They push their grandma from the train to win an election. And the only thing that's changed over the last 40 years is they've gotten worse and worse, more and more base instinct, less and less hidden behind a smile or a nicety like Reagan was able to do, into the snarling sort of, you know, mouth of Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, you know, and Kevin McCarthy and Marjorie Taylor Greene. They have become their base self. They've been headed in that direction forever. But, you know, because those things add up. Mm-hmm. And when you're willing to play to racism and voter suppression and use the kinds of words that, what was his name, Lee Atwater used, the N-word constantly, about, you know, when you're willing to do that kind of stuff to win, you can't just sort of brush it aside later. You know what I mean? Then Willie Horton comes, and then other. When you're willing to cheat and steal a debate book, you'll be willing to do it in the future. When you're willing to make deals with foreign enemies, And there always were, by the way, those same rumors out there about Nixon having talks with the Vietnamese. And I'm just saying, like, you know, it proves itself true. Every time we hear these things, they end up being true. So we're right back where we started. Fox News is a political operation. It always was a political operation. The fact that they've allowed it to be news, it should have been kicked out of the White House briefing room long ago. It should get no scoops, no information shared with it, whatever scraps they can find on the floor. I'm so proud of Joe Biden, excuse me, who refused to do the Super Bowl interview this year with Fox, who refused to do it. Good. But much more needs to happen. They need to be treated like the pariah they are, because the right has learned if they repeat something enough, you'll believe it whether it's true or not. Well, here's something that's true that we could repeat. Fox is not news. It's entertainment, and it's entertainment to elect Republicans. Repeat it enough every time somebody brings up Fox, refuse to treat them like a news organization, you know, when they call on you at a press briefing, say you're not really press and move to somebody else, treat them that way because that's who they are.
You know, I used to do some Sunday stuff on Fox and Vitter. Remember Vitter? The guy that used to do the Sunday afternoons.
Mr. Brothel himself?
Well, yeah. And when I was on the air with him, he was an unapologetic right-wing douche nozzle. I mean, just was an absolute jackass. But then you find out these text messages behind the scenes, he was like, this is not real, you know. And they got rid of him, actually. And I'm not exactly saying it was a loss. But, I mean, it was really the Jekyll and Hyde thing for me came very, very visible at that point. This was a guy that was on the air, was just really carrying as much of the water as he could. But he behind the scenes was like, we shouldn't be doing this. These are lies. It really
isn't
is nuts.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you see some of these people that are those, like, you know, publicly, these morally compromised people. It's kind of like Liz Cheney. And there even gets to be a point for them where they're like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? You know, when she cursed out Jim Jordan or whatever, after the Capitol was attacked. I mean, what are we doing when the Capitol, when you're lying to your people so systematically, you're brainwashing them to a point where they'll show up to the Capitol of the United States and they'll attack the Capitol and kill people. And, you know, and like this is where we've gone. So that the Vitters and the Liz Cheney's, people that, you know, George Will I mentioned earlier, people that were plenty enough hardliners during the Bush administration, it's even gotten to the point where they've had to jump off because it's gotten so insane. But the ones that are still there, they're creepy, they're corrupt, they're incompetent. You know, they're just the most disgusting, cruel band of people who are willing to do anything, because you saw in those texts and everything that even Rupert Murdoch, that slimy scumbag, who, by the way, isn't American, and why we even kicked him the hell out of the country for what he's done, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like who sat there, you know, who said, oh, well, this is bad. Maybe we should change. Maybe we shouldn't do this. This is bad for democracy. Oh, but wait, we may lose people to Newsmax. They put the goddamn profits first. That is the moral of the story here. Tucker Carlson, who comes from the damn Swanson frozen food fortune, he doesn't need a cent. He's a power-hungry fascist meatball is what he is. And that's all he cares about. He just cares about people cooing at him when he's on TV. They're despicable, disgusting people, and they are what we need to call them. They are traitors. For profit and for ratings, they are willing to destroy the United States of America. They're traitors. They are treasonous. They're seditionists. Call them whatever you want. They hate this country, or at least don't love it as much as they love money in their pockets and high rates.
You wonder why I have Cliff Schechter on that last little rant right there. It's beautiful, man. Beautiful. You and I are both. I'm fuming about this. I'm fuming about this because of the dishonesty to the network. But going back to the handing of stuff over to the other campaign, Republicans are trying to say, oh, Donna Brazile, was it was asking CNN for talking points. That's one thing. Someone asking someone to, can you give us an insight on this? That's not what happened here. Joe Biden's campaign would call Fox News saying, we're going to run this many ads, this many days. Here's how much it's going to cost. Here we'll have the ads to you. And the second the ads got there and the narrative got there, Murdoch, before they even aired, was running over to Jared Kushner saying, here are his ads, here's the narrative, you know, produce an ad as quick as you can, and we'll you know, get them in the same break so basically you can counterpunch them. And that's very different, let alone as well saying, oh, when we have our debate here, here's what we know is going to happen, so here's the questions, make sure Donald's ready for this.
I mean, it's really ridiculous.
I've got to believe
Fox should not, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've got to believe there's a legal thing there.
Well, I have to believe there's a legal thing, too. And I hope there is. And let's pursue that, because you're right. Dominion's going to own their lunch. Everyone should do this. But yes. If you're a Democrat and you agree to debate on Fox at this point, you're an idiot. If you're a Democrat and you agree to accept Fox as, you know, whether it's a town hall or whatever, as any kind of informal arbiter of truth, you're a moron. Because you know what's going on here, they've given away. But even before this, again, this network has behaved as this outlier, radical fascist organization. They helped organize the Brooks Brothers riots in 2000. They helped organize the Tea Party gatherings in 2010. They've just, again and again, Jeb Bush or George Bush's cousin was the one who made the call for George W. Bush at Fox in 2000, and then the other networks followed. I mean, if someone did an honest history and got in there into the Fox vault and could get all the truth of all of the stuff that they've done, it would honestly blow away any spy novel you could ever write. Mm-hmm. All right, and now they're repeating Russian talking points constantly. I mean, I'm sure, you know, because that would be crazy. Well, everything you thought would be crazy 20 years ago is true. I'm sure there's Fox people in touch with Russian people. I'm sure they're coordinating their talking points so it has that much more power and that much more punch when they're doing things, because the Fox and Republicans have essentially become an arm of Putin's party. Like, anything you can think they're doing right now to enrich themselves, to be corrupt, to destroy our democracy, they're doing it, and they're doing worse. Trust me. Mm-hmm.
Well, and to piggyback on what you're saying, you said it perfect. Don't go on there, because there's no way you can guarantee Fox News isn't basically setting you up to basically attack you with either talking points or with questions set from their opponent directly. And then this is the big thing, and you kind of alluded to this, the closet with all the secrets in it. Does anyone think this is the first time Rupert Murdoch's done this? I would guarantee
he's done
you
it every time since how long they existed, and since I think they first went on air in 1996.
Exactly.
You can guess they've done it every time, and much worse than that. And I would just say, I've been saying this for a long time, if Democratic pundits, right, quote unquote, people like me, people like you, whoever want to go on Fox, I used to go on because I found it was good training, it was fun. Because I found that this group of schmucks who thought they were smart, or the biggest dunderheads in the world, would gang up on me 2-on-1. And they would change the topic at the last minute. And I thought it was a good challenge so that I could beat the crap out of these two idiots, you know, slobbering on themselves who thought they were smart. That's me, because I like pain, you know, and not everybody's like that. You know, if you like debating with jerks, go do it. If you want to go, so I'm not saying every Democratic pundit, but not one Democratic elected official should grace that place. And this isn't based on these recent findings. I've been saying this for the last at least half decade, if not more. Our president, our chief of staff, our senators, our congressmen, our governors, you go on that station, what you're doing is you're giving it legitimacy. It deserves zero legitimacy. It should be referred to as Fox Entertainment all the time, mm-hmm. and it should be referred to as the Fox Republican Party, or, you know, the variations on those themes. They should not answer their questions that they ask you. You should not go on their station. Again, if people like me and you want to go on there and ruffle feathers and argue with them and make them look stupid in front of themselves, fine. But I don't have a title. I'm not great, but my going on there, I'm just some you know, like Schlapp. Oh, that's like Matt Schlapp, so I'm not that, because I don't do things like that. But I'm just some goofball, you know, living here in Cincinnati doing my thing. I can go on Fox News. An elected official, absolutely, from the Democratic Party, should not even consider it.
I'm going to ask you about the same thing as well I talked to Jeff about, and just this idea. Does Ron DeSantis really think Make America Florida is actually a winning slogan? Because if the first thing out of your mouth is a giggle, Make America Florida. I mean, I think the first thing out of your mouth is like, I don't think this is going to be your winning candidacy slogan here.
Well, all I know is... is that, you know, the movie Cocaine Bear, you know, is coming out. But when I think of Florida, what comes to mind is an alligator on meth,
Yes. Honestly.
I imagine an alligator in a strip mall parking lot, because that's all they've got there, because public transportation isn't something anyone believes in. In these dollar store strip, you know, parking lots, the ugliest scenery in the history of the world, in massive humidity, and there's an alligator who basically is methed up and attacking you. All right. That's the way everybody pictures Florida. So, no, that's not a good phrase. I don't think it'll work. Florida has become a punchline. There's entries in, you know, in wikis and whatever for Florida man. I don't see how they think that's going to go forward. I think most people think that the COVID protocols that were ignored there were insane. I think most people realize that Miami, you know, a American city, is at a point now when it's high tide sometimes where the water runs up two or three blocks and may not be, probably won't be there in 30 years because the state most affected by climate change has decided to ignore it. I mean, you know, they've got the one of the worst gun problems in the country. It was the first place where they passed Stand Your Ground. Who the hell wants to be America to be like Florida? No. Frankly, I don't know anybody that does, but Ron DeSantis has bigger problems. I mean, I could write the ads that mock that guy showing up to floods in his little white booties and his little chipmunk face when he tries to look all Top Gun with a helmet squishing his big noggin. Like he's a if they don't Dukakis and a tank him, they're failing. I don't think DeSantis. I think he's an early bubble the way Jeb was in 2016 and Hillary was in 2008 and all these people. Remember when Joe Lieberman couldn't lose in 2004?
Yeah.
And he's ahead in the Democratic race? Yeah, DeSantis is where he is now. Plenty of other people are going to emerge. I don't think any of them have yet. They're not accepting an Indian woman. I'm sorry, Nikki. You can self-loathe all you want. They still hate you because of who you are. Mm-hmm. And you took down the Confederate flag. You're done. Mm-hmm. Tim Scott, don't make me laugh. Like, you know, somebody will come along who's palatable, who's conservative, but not completely tied into and at least doesn't, you know, says things at least with a little more of a chuckle than DeSantis and Trump, than DeSantis does, so that they're a little more likable. I don't know who it's going to be.
Yep.
I always thought John Thune was somebody who scared me because he's got that whole Midwestern, look, good old guy kind of image, even though he's a fascist in the policies he passes. To me, someone like that's going to emerge. I don't think we've seen the Republican nominee.
Well, and to back up what you were saying there, it's if you get down to the base where the Republican Party picks their candidates, there, unless it's a white man, it's not. No one else has a chance. And that's just, I saw it up here. The best candidate they had in Minnesota for the governor's race was Michelle Benson. She had never had a chance. She never had a chance because it has to be white guy, because at the end of the day, that's kind of the narrative that the people that choose the Republican candidates want to go with. And that's the issues that they do have.
Yep.
That being said, final thing here, Twins Phillies today, 4-4. God, one thing I can't stand about spring training baseball is ties, but apparently the Pirates and the Orioles were so upset they wanted to finish this game. They played the rest of their game sandlot style without any umpires so they could get the extra innings done.
Oh, my gosh. I love that, though. I love that they wanted to play. These guys, you know, like spring training, nobody ever takes seriously. I love the Yankees kids who basically, I want to pull them all up, Dominguez and Volpe and all these guys are getting a chance. Volpe stole from first base to third base. Ricky Henderson style, everybody talks about his amazing speed. I want that stuff. I want the energy. I like the bigger bases. I like the no shifting. I'm looking forward to baseball again, where people hit and run and steal bases, you know, and oh my God, that person only got a single and not a home run or a strikeout. Like, I'm looking forward to all of it.
I am
so
too.
So that's going to be cool. I want to say one thing before I leave, though. You should probably look around, maybe check Twitter quickly or whatever, but a big political presence is moving to your fair town. I just read, it's a shame because he has to take care of his mother, but Jim Manley, if you know who Jim is, who was Harry Reid's chief of staff for years, and a big Washington presence, just announced on Twitter he's moving back to Minneapolis, where I guess he grew up. So you may have an additional radio a person to put on radio soon.
Well, I'll have him in there. Apparently Skrillex has been doing some stuff in town too. So, I mean, I've got choices.
See? You got stuff going on.
Cliff Schechter, once again, the YouTube channel is sensational. If you're not following it, you're wrong. Go get subscribed over there. It's already got thousands of subscribers. It's going tens of thousands.
Just about to pass 12,000.
There you go. So follow him there. I'll put the links out for everything a little bit later on. It's Blue Amp YouTube channel. Blue Amp YouTube channel. Cliff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Always my pleasure, buddy. Take care.
Cliff Schechter, outstanding show today so far. Let's take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. No, this is, and the sad part is that the right will never even hear about this. This is such a massive scandal. That the lies that they put forward and all this stuff is such a massive scandal. But the people that need to hear it will never hear it because all they do is watch Fox News, and Fox News has vowed to not cover this. That's why I hope one of the things that Dominion gets in their lawsuit is for like a month, an hourly apology that they have to air saying we knowingly lied about the Dominion voting machines, that we knew that many people within the Fox News organization knew that Joe Biden won fair and square, and that we regret that we pushed the lie that Trump had won. And I think if they have to do that every show, and not just some fill-in host, that, you know, Hannity has to do it and Tucker has to do it and Laura Ingraham has to do it, every one of them, then maybe you'll get some, acknowledgement that this has happened. But the reality is we've got a system here where the entire narrative of Fox News is to make sure that no Republican ever looks bad and no Democrat ever looks good. And that is just who they are. It's created people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, like I said, because of gerrymandering and because they've got a district where a turnip with an R next to its name could win that district, that's why she keeps going back. It's hilarious that she doesn't seem to understand what the term seized means. That she keeps talking about fentanyl that's seized at the border, keep talking about it's out of control. And it's like, okay, do you not understand seized means it's captured? Well, her latest stunt was to bring in this woman who's tragically, very sadly, the mother testified about two young men from Michigan who had died because of fentanyl abuse. And a very sad thing, and that's something that's going on out there, and okay, there's no problem. And she brought them in to specifically attack Joe Biden. The overdoses apparently happened in 2020. Well, Trump was still president, though. And so, as tragic as the loss is, to use this as a way to attack Joe Biden is to say misguided is not the right word. It's just stupid because he had nothing to do with it. Now, this is the moment I want to take. Do you remember, was it yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about whatever happened to decency in America? I was in a restaurant and a woman and her son attacked me. Whatever happened to decency? Remember that? I remember that. It was yesterday. That's why I remember it. It was just yesterday that Marjorie Taylor Greene was openly opining about whatever happened to decency in America. A spokesman for Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene offered a profane response when asked to comment on a misleading claim the congresswoman made online. This is Daniel Dale, the CNN fact checker. I asked Greene's office last night about her tweet blaming the Biden administration for the deaths in 2020 under Trump. Spokesman Nick Dyer responded by saying, "Lots of people have died from drugs under Biden's. Do you think they give a blank about your blank blank checking?" Dale followed up with additional chances to clear up the false claims Greene had made and was met with similar, more succinct response. I also gave Greene congressional spokesman Nick Dyer an opportunity to comment regarding Greene's multiple false claims yesterday about the 2020 election, which is lies that Trump won Georgia and that there were thousands of dead voters there. Dale said his response was to blank off. So once again, the same woman who yesterday talked about, where did decency in America go? Her spokesperson, talking to Daniel Dale, who's one of the smarter fact checkers you're ever going to find, over at CNN, just unloading a tirade out there because he's basically asking him to clarify the outrageous and undeniable lies that Marjorie Taylor Greene has said. And I guarantee you, the same people that follow Marjorie Taylor Greene, who yesterday were like, I can't believe those Democrats have lost all decency, are the same people who listen to this show and go, go get them, go get them, go get them, get those Democrats. Because this is, once again, this is what I keep talking about. These Republicans now, they've realized that they're basically in this world. They want to create a two-class tiered system where they are uber alles. And yeah, I meant that in German. Uber alles. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Speaking of uber alles, hey, there's a story from last week that I missed about the Minneapolis police, which I gotta bring up, man. What are you guys doing? 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Ooh, that's right. We've got tickets right now to go see Bill Maher over at Mystic Lake on May 21st. Bill Maher coming to town May 21st at Mystic Lake. If you would like to be there and enjoy the show, you can win a pair of tickets right now by being caller number 9. Caller number 9. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, caller number 9, you'll win yourself a pair of tickets to go see Bill Maher on May 21st. Good luck. Brett is standing by, ready to take your call. So this is interesting. When Fox News host Laura Ingraham went to Minneapolis last year to film a provocative segment in front of the former 3rd Precinct Police Station, which she called a monument to anarchy, another camera was rolling in the background. Reminder, this was this whole attempt to basically vilify our town. And to anyone out there that hates on Minneapolis, I just want to say that the hell with you. Minneapolis is a great town. Minneapolis-St. Paul is a great town. It's got problems. But you know what? Still is a lot better than most other places, hands down, not even close. And I did not appreciate the constant bad-mouthing of my city by people out there who really didn't hate the city but were just trying to win it on political points. And that's the whole thing there. And shame on all the officers that were involved in this. If you don't like it here, go. No one is forcing you to stay here. No one is forcing you to be here. You need to go. If you just want to sit here and hate on the city, then just get the hell out. We will not miss you. And frankly, you'll be happier, you uptight jackass. Ta-da! See? Go. You'll be happier. Anyway, so that whole dog and freaking pony show wouldn't happen. Capital Transparency is a YouTube channel that purports to hold government accountable, but when the anonymous YouTube citizen journalist tried to film Ingraham interviewing two Minneapolis police officers on a sidewalk in front of the burned-out police station, private security guards and two police officers tried to stop him, with one threatening to arrest him or put up police tape to keep him away. Naturally, the whole incident was caught on camera and the video has gone viral. At one point, Minneapolis Sergeant Andrew Schroeder said he was going to put the police tape up to stop the man from filming the Ingraham video. So once again, I want to make sure we understand right now what this officer is saying is he's going to abuse his position, create a police crime scene that's not a crime scene, just to stop this man from being able to film them. So that's the case. That's what was going to happen. Brett, we do have a winner here.
Mary from Minneapolis, our winner today.
Mary, Minneapolis, here's the deal. Tomorrow I got tickets. That's the last day. Thursday is the last day I've got tickets to go see Bill Maher. If you want to try to win, well, then you need to try tomorrow. But you're always welcome to go see him. Mystic Lake's great. And go get tickets. If you want to go see Bill Maher, go get tickets. May 21st, Mystic Lake Casino. Bon appetit. All right? It'll be a good show. Now, back to this. So once again, I want to make sure we understand this. He was threatening to arrest him by putting police tape to keep him away. So they were going to create a fake police crime scene just to stop someone with a camera from filming them. Naturally, it doesn't get any better. Ingraham was interviewing Lieutenant Jeff Waite and Schroeder, Sergeant Andrew Schroeder, near the former police station, which was destroyed in the riots after George Floyd's police murder in May 2020. But the Ingraham noticed the man filming. She stopped the interview and walked away. Oh, it's always so. I always love these guys on Fox News who always love we're going to get the cameras in there. But all of a sudden you catch them and they're like, you're not supposed to film me. That's Laura Ingraham right there. As the security guards and officers tried to make the man leave, he told them he was standing on a public sidewalk and they had no right to make him leave. Amen to you. You are on a public sidewalk. You do not have to leave. He noted the irony of a TV news crew trying to make a videographer get off of public property. So once again, Laura Ingraham came in here. This is supposed to be an exclusive. She didn't care about Minneapolis. She just basically was there to bash on us. And the hell with that horrible human being. Why are you guys trying to gang up on me? The guy taking the video said, all you people should know about filming in public.
The Fox News crew moved into an alley and tried to physically prevent the videographer from filming there, too, saying it was city property. Two men who appeared to be security guards tried to stop the videographer from getting near the interview when saying he was being a blank. I'm going to guess a swear word. Later, Schroeder said the man could film from a distance but wasn't allowed to enter a parked lot where they'd moved because they were doing police business. No, you're doing an interview. Film me all you want, but if you come in here, cross that line, I'm going to take you to jail, said Schroeder. Wow. For recording in public, the videographer said. Try me, said Schroeder. Ooh, can we? Okay, everybody, grab your phone and follow Schroeder around and film him from public and see if he arrests you because, yeah, that's what he wants to do. We all have cameras now. God. In the resulting Fox segment, Waite complained about how Floyd's police killing, onlookers' offers descended on scenes, recording everything. You constantly have people questioning how we do things and telling us we're not doing things right, and it's just nonstop, Waite told Ingram. Let me explain something to you. Everything I'm hearing about this whole case, yeah, you're wrong. You are wrong. Ingram's interview raised questions about why the broadcaster with a history of inflammatory right-wing opinions and a sour view of Minneapolis was allowed to access to the officers, particularly when many local reporters were being rebuffed. As expected, she used the interview to paint a grim picture of the city and its leadership. At one point in the segment, the chyron on the bottom of the screen said, 2 years after Floyd's riots, radical leadership leaves Minneapolis in shambles. Oh, screw you, Laura Ingram, you piece, you hag. Ugh. By the way, a spokesman for Mayor Fry said that the mayor was not aware of the interview beforehand. Well, because this was the police, my guess it was the police union saying, yeah, we're going to bash on the city. Now, there's two different things here I want to really break down here a little bit. The reason why you guys don't like people filming you, I mean, for God's sakes, I've had to learn how to live with this damn thing, this camera in the studio. All right? This is my job. This is what I do. I've got a camera on me. You guys are all supposed to have cameras on you running. You're riding in a vehicle that's got a camera on you. But it tells you, what does it tell you that police officers that are supposed to be used to cameras, who are on, you know, visible from public property, still today don't like it when they're being filmed? It tells you a lot, doesn't it? And the fact that this guy was willing to abuse his office to arrest someone because, heaven forbid, the Queen, Laura Ingram, is violated by you. Are you the mayor of Minneapolis the police of Minneapolis, or are you the police of Laura Ingram? Because it sounds like your allegiance is to freaking Laura Ingram and not that city that's on the side of your damn cars that you are vowing to protect and serve. This is unacceptable. This is once again unacceptable, and yet another example of how the system is broken still. You should not be threatening people out there. You shouldn't. You shouldn't be threatening people out there. Especially people, you would have thought you guys would have learned your lesson. But these two clowns, and can I just say, if you guys don't like being here, Lieutenant Jeff Waite and Sergeant Andrew Schroeder, then go! We don't want you here. You don't need to be here. No one's going to be like, oh God, no, not Waite and Schroeder, because they left, oh God. There isn't going to be mass protest rallies about you coming back. No one cares. And you clearly hate it here. Go! Just go. Maybe they already have. I don't know. You can find some other town where you'll be happier. Whether that's in outstate Minnesota, go to a different state, go find your happy place. Dude, you got one freaking trip around on this spinning rock. Why are you doing something in a place you clearly do not like?
That's the craziest part. And this goes to everyone out there. You got one trip right around on this flying rock, okay? What are you doing? Doing something, a job you don't like, being around people that you don't like, living in a place that you don't like. Go find your happy place. I choose to live here. I choose to do this job. I choose to hang around with these people. Well, maybe not Brett. But, I mean, I still probably, I choose to be around these people. I like Brett. That's your choice. You don't like it here, go. You'll be happier. We don't care. No one cares. No one cares. But it does bring up this idea of, because once again, and I'm going to take a break here, but there is this argument that you hear from the police department. That is, why is it that we can't connect with the local community? Why is it we can't connect? And I'm going to just point out, this entire incident is why you guys have no chance at all of fixing this until you have a complete and total remake over of how you guys do things. Because right now, This is the problem. You're not connecting with the people in Minneapolis because of crap like this. And you can fix it. It just is you don't seem to want wanting to. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. Wrap up the show when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. So let me just break down, first of all, I broke down the problem with this abuse of power. Once again, it is abuse of power. You threatening people to arrest them because they're filming you from a public property. You basically saying, I'm going to set up a false crime scene to basically stop you from filming us. And I want to bring up the point here. You guys sit there and say, why is the city not more receptive to us? Because you guys should be talking to the media at every turn. You don't. Why? Because just like this instance, the Minneapolis police looks at the media that's not Laura Ingraham or it's not someone else who's willing to strap on knee pads and let them drive the narrative that the police union wants to push as the enemy. And so you instead, most other cities' police departments have fairly decent relationships with the local news media and have conversations. And the problem is that you guys want the news media just to put out your talking points. And after George Floyd, it became clear, we can't trust your talking points. Just go back and look at the news, how they presented the narrative after George Floyd. Heck, look at the narrative after Pointergate, for God's sakes. You're the ones who have turned the media into the villain. You need to start talking to the media and being present and addressing concerns. And you know what? You gotta do that because you screwed up a lot. So don't sit there and say, we're not gonna do it. You have to. Openness begins with you being open. And you gotta, the idea that someone's going to film you, come on. You know why? Because you can't be trusted to do the right thing most of the damn time. That's not on us. That's on you. So stop. And then finally, stop with this hating on Minneapolis. You cannot say, we want to sit here and make this city better while you're running over to Laura Ingraham screaming about how this is a hellhole and this is godforsaken and it's never going to be fixed. If you don't want to be here, get the hell out of town. We won't miss you. No one will miss you. Bye. And you can go find a happier place for yourself. But just stop with this, rage hating on Minneapolis, the city you're supposed to actually want to protect and serve. It's a shame. It's embarrassing that I have to tell you this to these guys. But this is where you're screwing up.
And don't criticize anyone for having legitimate questions about who, what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because you know what? You forfeited that ability. You just have. Vern is in White Bear Lake. You wanted to chime in today on Laura Ingraham. Welcome on in, Vern.
Hi. Hi, Phil. Matt.
Yeah, that's Phil. Phil's okay.
I had to pick it up on my phone last week, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it was in October with those two cops and that business on the street.
Yeah.
So I couldn't figure out what the hell's going on here. And that new police chief, I don't know if he saw that yet, but it just shows that nothing's happening. I mean, one person has been charged with that stalling thing. One person.
It's,
you know, when there was a van full of them.
It was a van full of them, and also let's not forget about the officers who were firing rounds on innocent civilians in the city because they feel they think it's a war zone, so they're treating it like a war.
Right.
No.
Right. And I've seen that cop before. I've seen that cop before. He's been a spokesman for the PD before, the lieutenant or sergeant. I don't know which one it was, but the one that was threatening with arresting him.
Yeah. Vern, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the phone call. No, and by the way, I'm late on this story, too. Dina Winter printed about this last week, and I over at Minnesota Reformer, and I didn't catch this until I saw it. And I just sort of like, you know, you don't have trust because you haven't earned it. The Minneapolis Police Department thinks that they should just be able to say, trust us, and we can. And that consistently... I mean, okay, you want us to trust you, but then when someone's on a public sidewalk filming in public, you're like, we're going to arrest you. I'm just going to create a police zone here, so you're going to go away. That's not trust. And I'm sorry that Laura Ingraham was upset about being on camera. Tells you how much editing they do to their shows over there. Without a doubt in my mind, tells you how much editing they do to their shows. But... yeah. You cannot earn trust by just saying, trust us. You have to show we can trust you. That is getting out into the media. That is being, that's not putting out incredibly jaded press releases after an officer murders someone in the street. It's not out there basically, it's not out there basically trying to desperately, you know, find the warrant that allows you to no-knock and go in there and shoot somebody. It's showing that you have some regret and remorse for the actions that have been caused by the Minneapolis Police Department. And until that happens, you can't just say, trust us now, because no one should trust you. Not because we're jerks, but because of your track record of behavior. So, you want to start trusting everything? Call up every media outlet in town and say, we'll take 30 minutes to answer every one of your questions. When you start doing stuff like that, then maybe we can start building on some trust, but I don't think that's going to be happening. Native Roots Radio is in the 6. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.